This episode is brought to you by Impossible Foods. When the world is telling you to eat less meat because it's bad for the environment and bad for your health, Impossible Foods wants you to eat more meat. Yes, that company that makes meat from plants, Impossible Foods. By creating delicious, nutrient-packed meat from plants that's better for the planet. Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, home-style meatballs, sausage patties, and so much more. All made from plants. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches Media presents.
I really want to lose 3 pounds.
Yeah, no, don't put me down for cardio.
Diet starts tomorrow.
Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy.
I want to quit the gym.
Happy people just don't shoot their husbands.
With hosts Aileen Cooperman.
Joey doesn't share food.
And Sammy Fishbein.
Whatever, I'm getting cheese fries.
Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Aileen.
And this week, we are back with a new guest. Many of you might know from Instagram. Her name is Alexis Barber, aka at Wellness Alexis. You guys were DMing us her profile a lot in regards to all the F Factor drama, but turns out Alexis has a lot of much more interesting things to say than simply her notorious F Factor drama. So we wanted to welcome Alexis and have her talk about, you know, her story.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm like definitely so like excited to be here. So thank you.
It's also funny because like even when we were talking about what happened with you and Tanya on our last, on our emergency episode, we were just kept talking about you like sort of by your Instagram handle. Like, I can't believe what you did to at Wellness Alexis. And now it's funny to like be face to face over Zoom, and it's nice to see you in person. So thanks for coming.
Of course, absolutely.
It's a great handle. The handle, just like, you know how some people are like first name, last name people?
Yeah.
Some people are also handle people.
I feel that. I call people by their handles a lot and they kind of get annoyed with me, but here I am. So
now you're the famous Wellness Alexis.
So funny.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But before we get into today's topic, we just want to do a quick little rundown of things that are happening at Betches this week. As you know, there's less than 50 days until the election. So the Betches Sup has just come out with a video series that we are launching weekly until the election called Save 2020. We're talking about different topics in the election, like swing states, why are they important? So you can find that on the Betches Sup feed and on the main Betches feed as well. We also came out with a limited series podcast called Do You Know Who My Dad Is? And basically the essence of this is that the two hosts, Brian Russell Smith, who you recognize from the Sup, and another employee, Alicia Angeles from Betches, are hosting, and they're basically taking you through different industries and talking about how like nepotism and connections have brought us some of the most famous people that we know and love. For example, the first episode, we talked about Cara Delevingne and the Hadids and how they got their start in modeling. And just a hint, like it wasn't just because they were like the best models ever scouted in a random mall.
Super scandalous.
It's like, if you're a Succession fan, I think you'll like it.
You guys know we are. We heal for you.
Oh, and you can listen and you can listen to that on Fridays in the Betches Sup feed, the Not Another True Crime podcast feed, or the at Betches podcast feed.
And speaking of very powerful people, but in a very different way, we have launched a new vertical community called Betches Moms. And it's everything you could expect from us, but everything having to do with motherhood. And go follow that now at Betches Moms. And obviously, guys, go shop our stuff. Support the team DST here. Go to shopbetches.com/collection/DST. We just came out with a new t-shirt. Very comfy. I'm so excited to get mine. And it basically says through thick and thin, as you would imagine. So go do it. All right. Well, let's get into our episode. Welcome, Alexis, again. So let's get like a quick update. What's been going on since all of this F Factor stuff happened and you had that infamous phone call? What's the deal?
I guess since the phone call and the live happened, I have just been like trying to take in the fact that everyone I know now knows about my account. And I have to, and I'm trying to decide what to do with it now that I have a lot of, you know, people who are trying to get away from diet culture on it. So working on that. But in terms of like the drama, like I've not had any contact with the infamous TZ. And she's, you know, she left me with her threats and her lies. And now I'm just living. So
you're just living. Well, it's funny because like, when this happened, like, I remember I asked you, like, can I share your name? Because I figured you don't know what to do with, like, all this attention. It's, like, new attention that wasn't, you didn't expect. Yeah. You didn't, like, set out to make this, like, wellness Instagram to go big. But it must feel, like, crazy because it happened so quickly.
Yeah, for sure. It's, like, very absurd because, like you said it best, my shady wellness account, I did not want to be public. Like, I just did it for fun / like to have for myself. And so now that it's big, like, it's very vulnerable for me because I have like always really tried to have like a perfect image, and like admitting to people that I didn't like my body is, or like I had issues with it, was like very scary. But now I'm just like, thankfully, like I'm like in St. Louis alone. I don't have to see anyone I know. So I feel very good about that. And then everyone, obviously my friends and everything, are very like excited and supportive. So it's definitely been, it's fine. Yeah.
That's good.
It's fine. So, everything's fine.
Exactly.
So are you happy this happened, or do you not have enough distance yet to be sure?
I think I'm happy because I don't think I was happy in the beginning because I was like, I am not like, if you know me in real life, like health and wellness is just not like my big thing. And so I think I'm happy that it happened now because I've been able to tie the issues in the health and wellness community to like larger issues that I care more about. So like, for example, the issues of racial disparities in Black communities with eating disorders, like I feel like that's something I can really stick to trying to help bring awareness to. Whereas before, like it felt kind of like superficial to be so focused on something as quote small as like food and recipes and stuff. Whereas now I'm kind of recognizing that it's very intertwined with elitism, the patriarchy, politics, and everything. And so I feel a lot better now knowing that like it could hopefully make a difference, because I definitely don't want to be on Instagram just posting like random stuff and like ignoring like the political climate and ignoring like, you know, really big things. But I don't think that I have to do that while also being interested in health and wellness anymore.
Yeah, I think people assume that like, well, I think that it would be in the interest of a lot of people, mostly those who profit off of diet culture, to separate the idea of health and wellness from being political. When in reality, all food is political. The food that is subsidized and mass produced is a political issue. What foods get approved? The fact that supplements aren't even regulated by the FDA, like that's a political decision. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's not necessarily obvious to everyone how political dieting and diet culture is. And I mean, it's so amazing that you recognize that, and that the woman we affectionately know as TZ inadvertently gave you such a platform to now talk about that when it's so counter to everything that she stands for. But yeah, can you talk more about that?
Yeah, for sure. I guess I just like have recognized in the past week, because like, I guess that's really as long as it's been, that when it comes to dieting and sort of being thin, that's very much associated with like having money or being valuable. And like, I guess I didn't really come into dieting until I was in my sorority at Northwestern, which was like a very New York City, like heavy sorority. So like, I didn't feel the need to like change my body or be smaller until, while I was trying to upkeep this image of being like perfect, that was like one thing that I needed to do in order to fit in and sort of gain more proximity to whiteness, I guess, and like learn how to, and I guess fit in so that I could achieve like, you know, that financial security that like I had never had access to like growing up in St. Louis and like within my family specifically. So that was like one big thing that I didn't recognize how entwined that was with racism, that I was like equating thinness to money, equating that to, and that all falls within white supremacy. So I mean, that's like a crazy like thing to even realize, like say out loud now, because like a week ago, I literally didn't recognize how deeply intertwined all of it was. And now I'm just trying to figure out a way to, one, like take care of myself without feeling guilty for doing so in a way, and also take care of like promoting how much diet culture has hurt so many people, but not just white women, also Black women. Like if I feel a lot of shame talking about like dieting and stuff as a Black woman, because it seems like there's so much bigger issues. And also like a big part of being a Black woman is being confident and strong all the time. And like that is very much my identity, is being confident and strong all the time. So to admit that there's such a big problem with eating in our community is really hard to, because it doesn't mesh up with our like strong and confident norm.
This episode is brought to you by Azo. The Azo brand wants the world to stop treating women's health like a dirty word. Because the reality is, UTIs, yeast infections, and bladder control issues are common among women. But dealing with them is an uncommon act that many women are skittish about due to judgment, shame, and inaction. The Azo brand offers probiotics, prebiotics, and vaginal suppositories that help keep your vaginal health in check every day. Like Azo Complete Feminine Balance, designed with a clinically studied probiotic blend that helps restore natural balance of good bacteria. Also, Azo Boric Acid suppositories support and help with vaginal odor control. And Azo Dual Protection provides extra protection from the common cycle of urinary and vaginal issues. Everyday things like stress, your cycle, sex, and certain medications like antibiotics or the pill can disrupt your vaginal microbiome, allowing unfriendly bacteria to impact pH or extra yeast to grow. Guys, you shouldn't feel ashamed. Azo's got you covered. I'm a big fan of Azo. I actually keep it in my bathroom now because the last thing you want to do when you have a UTI is to run out to the pharmacy. So keep it stocked at home like I do, and you never have to worry about it. I cannot recommend it enough. And you can save 20% now with promo code BETCHES on AZOPRODUCTS.com. Don't know which product you need? Take the quiz to learn more.
When did you kind of realize, because you were saying you said you did F Factor, and then now you feel like you want to heal or feel like diets are not the answer. Where, how did that shift happen? Like what was the...
So I guess like what happened was I did F Factor, like step one, fell into binging and restricting for like 3-ish months, like March, April, May. And then when I graduated from Northwestern in June and went home, in June, obviously really big things started happening, such as, you know, we came back to the Black Lives Matter, like that was more at the forefront again. So I really stopped thinking about what I was eating because I was glued to the TV and my phone and Twitter and trying to fundraise, trying to like, I couldn't protest because I'm immunocompromised. So I couldn't like go out and do anything. So I was doing everything possible, just like from my apartment in Evanston. And then, so I kind of phased out of like caring about my calories and stuff like then. And then I came home at the end of that and was eating like my normal family, like diet, eating everything. I just didn't feel, I felt good again. Like I felt like my body was working the best way possible. You know, I just didn't really feel the need to restrict anymore. But then when I moved to San Francisco, I kind of got a little bit back into like wanting to be thinner, but I was also super, super overwhelmed by the transition. So it wasn't really, I didn't feel like cooking or anything. So it's been a sort of like a rocky up and down sort of thing. But obviously at the same time that I stopped doing this, all these allegations started coming out about the powder. So, and then about the, all these other disordered eating situations. And so I don't think that I recognized that it was disordered eating until a lot of other women in this like F Factor Instagram community came out with their story saying like fearing a sweet potato or a banana is not okay. And I now recognize that, and F Factor contributed to this for me. So therefore like I'm moving away from this now. So once I saw that, I was like, oh, this I didn't even know what disorder eating was. I just knew that there was eating disorders. So learned about that. And I was like, wow, I definitely had that. And just started, you know, being like, I'm done with this, you know, so it's over.
Right. Also, the thing is like, we don't realize we fear the sweet potatoes. It's just exactly. The thing that you just avoid. You don't like get down to the emotions of that. There's literal fear there. And that also eating disorder and disordered more, even more so disordered eating is so normalized, especially on social media. And we'll get into talking about Teddy soon, but like that it's hard to even pin. I would say I'm with you on that. Like if it hadn't been for like the whole F Factor thing coming like to mainstream media and like talking about disordered eating, like beyond eating disorders, as you said, I don't think a lot of people would have realized that. Like, I don't think they would have realized that that's not necessarily healthy or like that we have those fears or that we don't really think about food as a source of nourishment or instead as a thing that we need to constantly think about and how do we avoid it.
Yeah. I think we definitely like, I was in a place where I felt like this anti-diet culture thing was just people making excuses for not wanting to take care of themselves. Like I was definitely in that camp when in like March, because of how much the F Factor diet is associated with being like smart and being what, like I say smart with quotes just so everyone knows, and like being and like take like don't settle for mediocrity or whatever, like that really got to me because it was like, okay, I can't be mediocre with my body. I have to be successful with it and everything. And so I definitely don't think that unless other people talked about it, like you said, I would not have recognized that like this was actually hurting me because it's being promoted as though it's helping you.
Well, it's also like, because that sheen that they put over it, like you're smart, you're successful, you're not mediocre. Mm-hmm. That tie-in with the thin combined with the marketing scheme that they're not marketing a diet, they're marketing a lifestyle. I also put that in quotes. Mm-hmm. But like lifestyle and diet have become synonymous, but they're actually, they could not be more different. Like your lifestyle has to do with like where you live, how much money you have, what are your family members, like what privilege or not, or do you have or not? And like, yet they act like this is going to, like this diet plan that they put you on is going to give you all those things. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is where like the elitism comes in, is that like, that's ultimately what they're marketing.
Exactly. It's like the elitism, like for me, it's like the dieting or whatever, like I said, wasn't a part of my life until I lived in my sorority house and like in my sorority house with a lot of wealthy white women. And like the eating disorders, I never wanted to admit that my sorority had lots of bad eating disorders in it because I like didn't want to like have to admit that we needed to dismantle Greek life too, which we do. But that was something where I was like, no, like it's fine. Like one of my really good friends is ex-girlfriend had like a really bad eating disorder in her sorority. And I was like, oh, well that sorority has eating disorders. Whereas like mine doesn't. And then like tons of girls in my sorority were dealing with it too. And then I even fell victim to that as well. And so that's all to say that the reason that it showed up is because it was in this elite, like sort of group of people who all were vying for that glamorous lifestyle and equating that lifestyle with what they were eating.
Yeah. Also college sorority life, like just from Sammy's my big, as I mentioned in our wedding speech, but like, if we thought back to, I was, as you said, like eating disorders, like run rampant, like amongst sorority girls, just thinking back to our experience, like we had full on, like just disordered eating 24/7. I was eating nothing during the day and just like waiting till Hal's opened up at 6 a.m. Like, you know, it was not okay.
I saw a post on Instagram this morning that I don't remember who shared
saving
it.
Saving up all your calories so you can drink at night. Ooh,
mm-hmm. Yes.
I think it was Emily.
Yeah. Okay.
Reposted.
Yes. Okay. That is, I did that for 8 years.
Reality.
8 years.
Yeah. Of like, I was doing that fully in February.
College and then like post-college, basically.
Fully. It's like how to trick your system is really what dieting has turned into. Like, how do you achieve the lifestyle that you want by tricking your body into something, not gaining weight. Like that's just really, it was the goal.
Yeah. I mean, F Factor basically like codified that idea of saving up your calories so that you can drink into the diet. That's why you're technically allowed to like drink whatever you want, because like you're eating a low enough amount of calories that like it enables that to be okay.
Yeah. In the interview, like whenever asked what to eat in an Italian restaurant, it's a tricolore minestrone and 3 glasses of red wine and 3 bites of bread. So yeah.
And like, that's also why the diet gets used by so many college students. It's because we don't have to cut out our like tequila shots to still lose weight, you know? And so in college, like that's why I think all of us were doing it. And I think that like, she knows that she has this base of young girls who like are in college and neat and don't want to like let go of those types of things and are also just like at the worst part of your life where like looking good is so important, you know, like whereas like it's very easy to have disordered eating and like fall into a diet while you're in college, especially when you add the alcohol piece.
It's actually, I feel like that's the first time that was really said out loud, because like if you follow Emily's stories, it's she's always like, what the fuck, wine, how is that fuel? But it is, it feels like it's part of your social way when you're younger, like you can't cut out, or for most people, or from my experience, you couldn't cut out drinking if you wanted to have a social life in college or right after college. So yeah, that makes sense. And that is kind of like preying on the people whose life sort of revolves around that lifestyle. But exactly. I feel like that hasn't been said. So thanks for verbalizing it.
Of course. Yeah.
Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. Mainly, it's my sinuses that get so clogged and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has 2 powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life. So it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
So, I mean, we obviously can't ignore the latest diet scandal of the week, which is all in by Teddy Mellencamp, who most people know from Real Housewives. And I kind of think that this story has blown up even bigger than Tanya because of the fact that she's John Mellencamp's daughter and she's on Bravo. Really? But like at first glance, this diet act or the diet plan that she gives to people actually sounds way crazier than F Factor. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to compare the two, but I'm just curious, Alexis, I'm curious what you think.
Yeah. Like, so I feel like I have like a few main issues with this, and I'm very sad because I'm such a big, like, Beverly Hills, like Real Housewives fan. Like, I just like, that's my favorite. Like, I actually started listening to this podcast when you guys did an episode about Teddy Mellencamp's like accountability thing, like last summer, I think. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, it's really absurd. So a few things is, one, she has no medical like certifications whatsoever, not a registered dietitian, like literally just like a woman just like who lost weight. Two, it's like 500 calories a day plus like burning 500 calories a day in cardio, which equates to nothing. So all these people who have these crazy 2-week transformation pictures, like, duh, like you literally starved yourself for 2 weeks. It's absurd. And then three, the bullying is disgusting going, like you're paying someone to get bullied. Like, for what? Like, it's absurd. And then I just like really have like such an issue with the elitism of it and like the mental toughness piece too, where it's like, oh, you're just not mentally strong enough if you don't want to eat these 500 calories and then burn them all off. Like, you just, sorry, like you're not good enough. You know, like, it's just reinforcing that idea that if you don't go to extremes for achieving this like body that you're supposed to want, then like you just aren't good enough for this society.
And
like
a failure. That is, yeah,
exactly. Like, you're a failure. It's so messed up to me. And then it's like even more messed up that Real Housewives has, like, especially these past two seasons, talked so much about eating disorders, like with Amelia and then with even Kyle being like, I had a really bad eating disorder. And it's like, she has four daughters. Like, she, like, if you wouldn't allow your child to like go through this program, like All In by Teddy, like if I told my mom this, my mom would be like immediately like, stop. And I can't, like, if I was Kyle, I couldn't imagine telling my daughter like, oh yeah, you can do this. Like, if you really want to lose the weight, like, it's a mental thing, you know, like, given, and especially LA just is like a breeding ground for that kind of like eating disorder habit. Like, I have had a friend from camp who, like, while we were like in summer camp, also I went to, that's how I found Betches, because I went to summer camp and you guys mentioned it in one of them. It was crazy town for all of us. We felt so famous. But while we were at camp, this girl was like, her mom came for visiting weekend and told her like that she looked fat. And like, that was my only connection to LA, was like this girl and her like toxic food relationship with her mom and how she wasn't eating because of her mom saying that to her. And I was like, oh my God, like, that's how you, I mean, LA is just like that, you know? And so it's so toxic. What are your guys' thoughts?
Well, Teddy kind of, I mean, yeah, the whole diet is so problematic. And I have a lot of thoughts about like what I thought it was versus what it actually is.
Right.
Yeah. But I could see, like, I know you're saying like your mom would say, stop it. But my mom, I don't think would say stop it, not because she's not looking out for me, but because she thinks that's probably normal. And like, I think the bigger issue is that they don't see a problem with it. This is normalized behavior. Yeah. Like, that is how you maintain a svelte physique. Like, that's how you have to eat low calories. Like, think about all those. I mean, and to me, I was not, like, somebody was texting me like, I'm so shocked this shit exists. I'm like, I have zero, I'm zero surprised. Like, I've gone on diets like this in my life. You know, like my mom tells me about like one of her doctor friends did these like growth hormone shots where like you're supposed to eat 500 calories a day. Like, yeah, have you ever heard of that? I'm sure many people who listen to this podcast have heard of it. There's just like so many of these, like, again, like quick fix them type of things where at the end of the day, you're eating 500 calories and you're suppressing your appetite. And that is how you get the slim. I remember my salmon diet, same shit. I was just eating salmon though. Like, it's the same thing. But then the whole point is like, you can't, what are you sustaining? You can't live on 500 calories. You're dying. Mm-hmm. So that's first of all, no surprise to me is my point. The thing about the accountability word is that I always thought this was just like, she's an accountability coach to help you reach your goals. And like, yeah, but they're her goals. Like they're not, there's no your goals in this scenario. And like everybody can be held accountable in their own style. Like, I feel like I want to give her some business advice. I'm like, this is how you should really run this. It's like somebody comes to you, shares their goals, their personal goals, and tells you your style. Like I need hard kick, or I need like really soft motherly love, like nurturing, positive reinforcement versus negative. And then they work toward that way, you know, but instead exactly. You're just there in some diet cult boot camp.
That's what I always thought it was. Like, I assumed, I had no idea that everyone was given the same thing. I just thought it was like some Zen yoga-ish, like mindfulness type of vibe. That was like, I did not get that from what Bravo showed of the retreat that that Dorit refused to show up to until she had her glam done. I just didn't understand that that's what it was. Like, I thought that it was like, yeah, I thought it was like a coach texts you like encouraging shit. Like
encouraging shit that you wanted in the first place.
Yeah, I did not even know that they gave you a diet, and let alone that the diet was like, I don't even want to.
It doesn't even have enough like nutrients for you to live on. Like, you're supposed to eat vegetarian with no protein.
Exactly.
You could almost see how Tanya Zuckerrot thinks that her diet is.
She's probably like, wow.
You, so abundant.
She's probably like, oh, anybody who's hurting from All In, come to Vet Factor.
Exactly. It's like, that's how
fucked up it is.
Yes. That is how fucked up the actual diet that that Teddy is selling is that F Factor's diet sounds rational compared to it.
And also another part of this that's another level of fucked up is that she's standing behind it, right? So she's saying that, and her whole argument is that people know what they're getting into. Okay, but like they don't fully know what they're getting into.
The fact that's a straight up falsehood that people know what they're getting into.
Untrue.
There's the money level, like the way that it's like for $5.95, you can get another whole week. Otherwise, we're going to drop you if you don't do like 1,000 hours of like running on the treadmill. Like it's really frightening. But
the dropping of clients is very clearly a way to, it's like what gyms do where they set you up for recurring, make it impossible to cancel even though they know you're not going. But this is like a bit more of a cash grab even.
And then
at least you could go to the gym.
Fear.
Yeah,
it's like you're so scared now that like you're gonna get dropped. So then you're like, oh, I have to do it. Like it's just so much more pressure, and it's disgusting.
It's disgusting. Reading those text messages gets me like gives me anxiety.
Oh my gosh,
I get so scared. Like, and like, oh, and then when she calls out, allegedly calls out that like if you somebody was like I threw up, and she's like, don't do that. You're not weak. Like, who are you to say that? Like you, like you're,
she
you
has
said, Alexis,
no
she has no qualifications. If anything, she has she has had said herself she had an eating disorder. How can she be telling people what to eat? It's so crazy. But what I was saying earlier was that like, even if people feel like they know what they're getting into, they heard from a friend, I lost this much weight. It's really hard to do, but like you do it. The fact that people are still signing up for it. It is like a sign that the times just really need to change, and they need to change fast, because that like the fact that we're still looking for these like quick fixes, we don't realize that like there's, you can't sustain this life, and that somebody is profiting so much off of that is to me the like kind of the crux of it all. Like,
I think every person has to realize on their own, like,
yeah,
you can't help someone see the light. Like, even like Alexis, you just said you came to this like in a week. Like, mm-hmm. Once you see it, it's so clear. But before you see it, you can't make yourself see it. And like, then you are vulnerable to people preying on you, essentially.
Exactly. Like, I had many like friends, now that I think about it, being like my friend would be like, you need to make sure, like if I make comments about like not eating pasta or not eating rice, he'd be like, that's bullshit. you know? And I'd be like, you just never have had to worry about your weight before. Like, you don't know what it's like to not like what you look like or not be able to wear a crop top when you're going out and like also eat pasta that night. I would be like, you guys just don't understand. Like, I just felt like very, like I literally, you could not have told me anything. Like, if I hadn't figured this out for myself, like nothing. Like, it was, and I think that's how it is for everybody. And like, I hate that it has to be so individual and like, but I just like, I don't know how to reach people on a deeper basis. But like you said, like that fact that people are profiting so much off of it, it's like just disgusting and so frustrating to me.
It's like her, the all in thing is sort of just this like tiny microcosm example of diet culture. Mm-hmm. It's like it is diet culture in a tiny, 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 tiny example. You have celebrity, you have a lot like gimmicky sales schemes. You have basically a very, very low calorie being normalized with no experts in the field.
Glorification of cardio,
glorification of being thin. And then like this extreme, like this focus on the extreme, and there's no compassion, and there's just no compassion for the person themselves. Like, there is examples of like a mom who's like, I just don't have time. I have my kids. Well, then you're being dropped. Like, okay, scary, like crazy lady, like calm down. And then it makes you feel like you're the one who's crazy. You're the one who's wrong. But mm-hmm. then you step back, like we're saying, we step back and then you see it and you're like, no, she's the one that's wrong. She's the one that's completely incorrect and crazy. Like, we're right. Like, they're preying on us, and we're not the failures. So I hope everyone kind of it's good that all of this shit is coming to light and going to mainstream. I feel like that's the positive out of all of this.
Yes, definitely. It's right? Not gonna like time's up for the like predatory diets.
Exactly. We knew
this was coming too. Like, we've said this like a long time ago. Like, this is the next big culture
shift hopefully.
For women.
Yeah.
I hope so. All right, so should we do some non-scale wins? We have somebody who wrote in, and I feel like Alexis, you were saying you had whirlwind week, so I'm sure you have a lot of wins. So I'll read our listener win. NSW, I never call it an NSW, non-scale win first. Hi, Sammy and Aileen. Love your podcast. One of my weekly Sunday highlights, I have a non-scale win. I've struggled with disordered eating for about 10 years and would classify myself as a recovering perfectionist, she quoted in quote unquote, as you have said on the podcast. My relationship with food has definitely improved over the years, but it is still not perfect. However, I have lately been making a conscious effort to gain weight, eating larger portion sizes, not doing any cardio and doing strength training, and just letting myself live and eat the pasta full of gluten when I'm out to dinner with my friends and not thinking twice. I recently tried on a pair of jeans that were definitely tighter than they used to be, but I actually like how I look in them now better than I did before. I now have a butt and look like the 25-year-old that I am rather than looking like a curveless teen. Thank you for your constant affirmations that we are more than our bodies and that we should be using our brain space for more important things than focusing on food. P.S. Sammy, congrats on your wedding. It looks gorgeous.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you have it?
That, I agree. Sounds great. Congrats. That is a good win.
Amazing.
It is. Alexis, what's yours?
I guess a few, like, just probably like the biggest one, like that I never would have done 6 months ago, is like buying pasta at the grocery store, making it myself, and like having pasta more than one time per week and like eating it and not counting the calories with it, not looking at the carbs, and like also having ice cream for dessert and like not being mad at myself. Like, that was like 2 nights ago, crazy. I was like, wow, I'm really doing amazing and I'm moving out of this and it's great, because it felt great and I didn't feel starving in the middle of the night when I went to bed, you know, like it was a satiating meal, which I guess was not my norm for so long.
Your pasta looked really good. It actually inspired me to make a very similar pasta.
Amazing. It's great.
The angel hair, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I also wanted to make it. I was like, I love angel hair too. And I actually ordered it that night when I was out.
Angel hair is the best.
I love angel hair.
Oh, hair. Oh. So delicious.
Yum.
Sammy, what's yours?
So I texted you about this because it was like so momentous, truly. Like, okay, it's going to sound so like not significant, but for me, it really was. Okay, as you all know, I eat until the point of pain and then I keep eating when it's delicious. And that's just like a thing that I do. And obviously, like I've been trying to eat more intuitively and, you know, kind of allow myself to have whatever I'm feeling. And whatever, I had a pint of ice cream. And for like literally the first time in, I don't know a time, like I got full and then I like put it away. And I didn't keep eating the whole thing until it was over, which I truly never do because like, and the thought that kind of transformed it for me, it was like, I can have it tomorrow. But I never allow myself, I never would like, but let myself believe I could have it tomorrow because I was like, diet starts tomorrow every day. So I put like the ice cream away and then I ate it the next day. And it was like actually great because I got to enjoy it and not be in pain.
That's great. And you felt good. Instead of feeling shit, you felt good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Thank you. What's your non-scale win?
Well, I was just on a little vacation up in Maine and Cape Cod with Rusty on celebrating our first anniversary. And I had so many different like food wins that it felt it also. And then the last sort of win was coming home and not like restricting in any way, shape or form at all. Like just going, it's all the same. It's all like the same life.
Yeah.
You know, it's all part of the same. We're just in a physically different space. We're just doing exactly the same thing. So like one time when we sat down at this restaurant, oh, I had a donut, which I documented on my Instagram. And I don't remember the last time I like went and ordered a donut. You know, like it's sort of a donuts were always just like, you don't get the donut.
Yeah.
Like
donuts are very big.
You go to Dunkin' Donuts, you order like, can I have the one munchkin for 50 cents, please? It's okay. Yeah. Don't give
but
me
please
two.
Please give me more. Just eat that don't make me ask.
Yeah. And then they don't count. Like, no, I ordered a donut, which is something I've never done. I went out and got it because so many people say you have to get Holy Donuts in Portland. I tried a bunch of different ones. We ordered like too many for like us, and I tried a bunch of different ones and I ate the one that I really loved and that felt so good. Those are, I guess,
like, amazing.
Those are like the biggest things, but I just kind of, it was just, it's just nice to, like you were saying, Sam, like you go somewhere out, like a vacation, and you're not putting the diet on the pedestal for when you get back. Like it's not, you're not like last suppering it up for every meal.
It's just wild how much every vacation I ever went on before has this like whole undertone of like the food to it.
What am I going
to
eat? What am I going
to
eat?
I will indulge on the vacation and then I will return to my hole of misery. Like it's just
wherever you go, because it feels like it has that like mindful indulgence thing, the cheat meal mentality. Like it doesn't count if you're like physically somewhere else, but like it's all your life and we're here just, you know, making ourselves feel good and have compassion for ourselves and not just constantly.
Even like if you're going to have like for me, if I would have had pasta for one Wednesday night meal, like I would have had to have like negative calories the next day. Like it was like impossible. Like I would have had to restrict just because you indulge once. And it's so crazy that like you can just eat whatever you want and it's completely fine.
Yeah. And we need carbs. Like that's the thing. Exactly. We need carbs to live, to just be, and pasta's great.
The best.
Eat the pasta. It's about the pasta. Yeah.
It's about the pasta.
Well, Alexis, where, what's the next thing you're doing? What's going to happen for Wellness Alexis after this?
So I'm going to, first of all, try to figure out how to be an influencer. So just kidding. That like kind of sounded horrible, but I am going to just like continue to post and like show that this transition into actually eating real food and not being in diet culture is hard. It doesn't just happen. Like, yes, there's a switch that goes off and you recognize that it sucks, but you also don't like, it doesn't mean that I didn't look at my cellulite today and I was like, fuck that. Like, you know, I was mad. So that is kind of what I want to be more transparent about on my page. And then I also want to, like I said, bring more awareness to the issues of eating disorders and like health within the Black community and how difficult and different it is there. I like love podcasts. So like long-term, I probably wouldn't want to start my own because I love them so much. But like, then again, I'm also just trying to like be a 21-year-old and like have a job and exist in 2020. So that's where it's going. Just being more transparent and always talking about the issues that matter most to me, which is like racism, politics, etc. And also just like feeling good.
That's amazing. I liked when you put on your story that you were saying that like, I'm trying to be an influencer, but I don't know how. And you like shared it with your friends and your friends were like, share that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, cause that's so relatable. And I feel like that definitely is the way, because people can really relate to what you're feeling, like the nuances of wanting to do something, but you're not sure how, or like how to be vulnerable on social media is like almost the antithesis of everything that we have been posting on Instagram. So exactly. It's so really, yeah, like I'm excited to keep following you.
I'm glad. Me too. Yeah. Like it's a, like I said, my whole image, my whole life is always about showing being perfect. And so vulnerability has never really been my thing. So at least I can do it through a screen for now. But hopefully that'll like really help other people realize that they're not like alone in this very complicated structure that we all live in.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing a great job.
And the thing that I remember with the whole like vulnerability thing is that like being vulnerable is the thing that makes you strong. Is the weakness exactly. comes from like trying to be perfect, and then you have like all this anxiety about getting found out. You know,
exactly.
like showing your imperfections and showing your cards is what makes you stronger and confident. Like I feel like after talking about all this like intuitive eating and like feel like talking about body image stuff, that I feel more confident coming out of it, not less. So
exactly. So
yeah.
Yeah.
To follow you. Yeah.
Right there.
Well, everybody go follow at Wellness Alexis. congrats on your new job again. It's amazing. Also on top of everything that's happened.
Thank you so much. Yes. It's I'm really appreciative. Yeah.
Yeah. And rate, review, subscribe. Diet Starts Tomorrow. At Aileen, at Sammy. Go buy our merch. Go do all of the things we said in the beginning. And we're always with you.
Through thick and thin. Diet Starts Tomorrow is hosted by Aileen Cooperman
and Sammy Fishbein.
Our editor is Sean Kilby. Our podcast producers are Mike Coscarelli, Sean Kilby, and Carly Rice.
And artwork is by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram and email your questions and non-scale wins to dst@betches.com.
Thank you to our partner, Impossible Foods. Some people say we would be better off if we ate less meat, which is why Impossible Foods made delicious and nutrient-packed meat from plants. So you can eat more meat, like home-style meatballs, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, and so much more, all made from plants. Impossible creates delicious meat from plants that's better for the planet, so everyone can eat more of it. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches.